Welcome to another broadcast of Restoring Your Life. Father, thank you for the opportunity to allow me to open my heart up as you pour things into it that I can share with those listening in. Thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, you know, we need to be thankful for when God uses us, because that's when we're more alive in our daily lives. As we enter into this new year, we have to reevaluate our lives. And I think that even though in heaven everything is one giant day, things are broken down for us here on earth, because we really need to be able to set goals and dates and things like that in our lives, because we are still flesh. Now in the spirit, it's continuous. There's no sleeping in the spirit. There's no night and day in the spirit. But in our flesh, there is night and day, because we're on this earth. And so everything is separated. And so that's why the Lord says his mercies are new every morning. It kind of helps us to remember, because if it was just one long day here, we wouldn't have any direction, any vision, any goal, any new day coming, right? So God set that up perfectly, because he knew that we would need, after 24 hours, a refreshing in our spirit. Some of you are living on 48 hours, 1 week, 2 months, a year of the same thing where you started, when every day is new every morning. You get a brand new start every morning. We have to put that in our heart. We got to remember that. We got to proclaim that out of our mouth. You know, our mouth is full of life and death, and we've got to see and listen to see what it is we're saying out of our mouth that's producing life and death. So this morning I was getting up and I wasn't feeling all that great. And I just said, you know what? I can lay here and tell myself, oh, it's going to be one of those days. I'm not going to feel so good. But I said, no, you know what? I turned it around and I said, Father, I might not be feeling good right now, but I am proclaiming good things on my life. I'm proclaiming healing, and I am proclaiming peace and excitement and health. And I got up feeling 1,000 times better than I would have if I kept in that mindset. I did the same thing towards my husband. I have noticed that he is not feeling all that great, and he seems to be kind of going downhill. And I was saying, gosh, you know, God, he's going downhill. And I had to stop and go, even though that looks like it, I still have to stop my mouth and say, no, he is to live and not die. He is to get meat on his bones. He is to live healthy and full and vibrant. And that's where my mind went this morning for the both of us. And I believe that changed the atmosphere for both of our lives today. Again, it's every day. Every day we have an opportunity to renew our mind by thinking those things that God would have us think upon. So this morning I said, you know what? I think I need to be reading the Bible every single morning. Now, I'm not going to say I'm going to do it every morning, because I know myself. But today I did. And I opened up in Genesis 18, and it is talking about Abraham having a little communication with the Lord. It's like I did this morning. I had a little communication with the Lord. And it wasn't that I was praying. I was proclaiming. I was believing. You know, the Lord is very happy if you believe what he says, if you believe the truth. Do you know that you're communing with God? Even though you don't say, oh, Heavenly Father, do you know that you're communing with God when you're believing? Did you know that? When you believe, you're actually having a conversation with the Lord. So this is kind of what Abraham did. He had a conversation with the Lord, but he did verbally speak to him. But here's the thing. Abraham had a communication and a relationship with God the Father that he felt free enough to go to him and talk to him about Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, look how many times he went to the Lord and said, but God, what about 50 people? Will you destroy the city for 50 people? And the Lord says, no, I won't destroy it for 50. And he goes, well, hey, by the way, how about 45? Is that okay? I don't want to mean to step on any toes or tell you what to do or anything, but how about 45? And God says, well, that's okay. We can not destroy the city for 45. And he goes, well, wait a minute. You know, Lord, I know that I'm just dust. I know I'm nothing. And I know you're Almighty God. But how about 40? And so he got it all the way down to 10. So he communed with the Lord and said, will you destroy the city if you can find 10 righteous people? And God says, no, I won't destroy the city if I find 10 righteous people. And of course, we know the end of that story. He didn't find 10 righteous people, and the city was destroyed. However, what the thing that I'm trying to get at is that Abraham communed with the Lord. He changed a potential destiny, didn't he? God already knew the outcome because he knew he wasn't going to find anybody. But he gave Abraham the benefit of the doubt to try to convince God, to talk to him about changing the number from 50 to 10. Did you know that you can do the same thing with the Lord today? When you know the Lord loves you, when you know he's your father, when you believe God, you can go to talk to him about anything. You can ask him for stuff. He says, is there anything too big for the Lord? And as a matter of fact, I just read that passage right before the Sodom and Gomorrah when Sarah was laughing because she heard that she was going to have a baby at her old age by these three angels that came to visit in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they go, we're going to come back and you're going to have a child. They overheard her laugh and they said to her, they said this to Abraham and said, she laughs, but is there anything too big for the Lord? And in that same chapter, it talked about Abraham convincing the Lord to not destroy people if he can find 10 righteous. So again, there's a principle here. There's nothing too big for the Lord. And he wants to give us the desires of our heart. What looks like it's impossible is absolutely possible, but it starts with what we believe. Do we really believe this? You know, here in the new year, maybe you have some old dreams that you have put off to the side. I want you to pull them out of the closet, pull them out of the mothballs, and set it out in front of you again and begin to believe again. The Bible says that people perish for lack of vision. You know what that vision is? That is your desire. That is your hope. That is a promise that you are asking the Lord to fulfill. God gave you those desires of your heart, in your heart in the first place, for you to even come up with them. You can't even come up with this stuff yourself. God deposited those things into you. So if he put them in you in the first place, he is surely going to fulfill them. The Bible says that he will fulfill. He is the author and finisher of your faith. And so again, it's all about believing because that's what faith is. And with Abraham, he believed that God and him had a good relationship, that he can speak to him boldly. You know, I remember another guy in the Bible who was destined to die. He was very sick, and he went to the Lord and said, Lord, will you prolong my life? And he asked him, and the Lord gave him 15 more years to live. And I bet he did some wonderful things with those 15 years. What if the Lord says to you today, I'm giving you 25 more years? What are you going to do with us 25 more years? You know, we need to live as though we have 25, 50, 60 more years left in our life. Because to tell you the truth, we will never die. We have to live as though we're living forever. Because as a child of God, you are living forever. I think that done it, and many have done it. You reach a certain age and you go, okay, well, I think I'm done now. I've done everything I need to do in life. I'm pretty much ready to go home. No, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. It will be up to you if you keep speaking like that because your mouth is a container for life and death. But if you turn those thoughts around and begin to say, I'm going to make a 10-year plan, and you think you only have 5 years left to live, hey, go for the 10-year plan instead. There was an older man who was like 106, and they asked him, what was the success for your living? He says, because I have a 10-year goal. I'm 106, and I have a 10-year plan ahead of me, because he's constantly living for a plan, a purpose. You know, if we just wake up in the morning and go, oh, okay, what am I going to do today? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. And then you get nothing done. You don't do anything. You don't have a purpose. You know, if you do, like Abraham, he went to God and said, okay, now, can you change this future? See, you can ask the Lord, can you change my future? I see it going this way, but I don't want it to go that way. I want it to go this way where there's life and good things and prosperity. I want to go that way. Do you know that you can do that? Do you know that that thing is too great for God? You're the one setting the tone of every single morning by what you believe. Are you believing that you can go to the Lord and change his mind? Are you believing that you can ask for 25, 30, 50 more years of your life? Are you believing that your vision out in front of you is going to help you live a full and prosperous life? you wake up in the morning and say, oh, it's just another day. I just was really wished I wasn't here. Well, you know what? You're not going to have a very good day, and it's going to go downhill. You have got to start going up that hill. It's going to be a climb. Going downhill is easy. You just roll. You know, you don't have to plan. But when you go up a hill, you have to choose your footing. So I'm asking you to go up a hill with me today. I don't care if it's just a little molehill. I want you to change the way you're thinking, because that is what's going to change your destiny. Having the faith in God to believe that you can go to Him and change His mind. And truthfully, you're not even changing His mind. You're changing your mind. You're changing your mind in an agreement with God's mind, which says you are to live and not die, and to fulfill those years appointed to you. See, God has appointed every man to die, right? He knows that date. And did you know that we're the ones setting that date? God knew the choices you were going to make in life and said, well, this person's going to die at 45 because of these things. But what if you change those things before that 45th birthday? What if you have the power, cooperating with the Lord, to change that date? Do you know you can? Look what happened to Abraham. He changed the mind of God. Look what happened to that guy that was sick. He changed his death from, you know, in the moment to 15 more years. And if we look at life as one giant day, if we look at life as we're never going to die, our body will, but the spirit is forever. It's eternal. It's going to live forever. If we start squishing that spirit because our body seems to be going downhill, then you're squishing your destiny and your future and the call that God wants you to fulfill on this planet before He takes you home. You know, the other day I asked the Lord, and I've asked Him many times, and I'm sure you've asked Him too, what's the purpose of all this? You know, what's the purpose of having the earth and the world and Jesus come to die as our Savior? I mean, what's the purpose? He created us to praise Him, and that's all well, but we could have praised Him in heaven. He didn't have to put us on this planet to suffer and go through all these situations and issues and evil and corruptness. He didn't have to go through all that, but I believe there was a design behind all of this. It's to see if we really love Him. That's the whole reason. That's the only reason I can come up with as to why we were here, is do we trust Him? Do we believe Him? Can we go to Him about anything? Or are we just looking at, you know, God as an evil God and allowing bad things to happen to people? We've got to change that thought process. We got to change the way we think about God. We got to turn it around to godly thinking, how He would think. Yes, a lot of stuff happened in the Old Testament that were not good because, you know, people had to wipe out, you know, cities, nations, and children and babies and all that. And a matter of fact, people are still wanting to do that today. But that's not the God we serve. We have a new covenant. We have Jesus Christ who came to fulfill all those old things so that a new can come. You know, into this new year, we need to get rid of the old wineskin stuff. We need to get rid of the old. I want to tell you something. I am changing my whole life around. And I didn't know I could. You know, but we make our schedules, people. We're the ones that put things into play in our life. We can change it. I decided to quit my 501c3 nonprofit organization called Life Application Ministries. Now, 20 years ago when I started the ministry, it was well and good, but I corrupted it and I didn't even know it. Now, God used it, but I corrupted it by connecting with this nonprofit organization. Why did I do that? Now I'm reverting right back to where I started, where I'm going to be serving people just because I'm serving people, not for tax write-offs, not for giving people the opportunity to give into a ministry for tax write-off. You know what? I'm keeping the government out of this. This has nothing to do with the government. Now, I did render to Caesar, which was Caesar's. Well, I'm getting rid of Caesar. I'm going to go back to serving people with my whole heart. Freely I've been given, I will freely give. So that's kind of where my heart is, and that's where I'm heading. And so I am changing my destiny and my future because I'm making some choices. I'm cleaning out some old and making room for the new. The new hasn't come yet. See, I cannot have new yet until the old is out of the way. And it's scary, people, because you've known something for 20 years, 25 years, and now you're cutting it loose. I'm telling you, that is hard. But it is not hard when you know it's the right direction for your life, because then you have faith believing God's going to fill what you got rid of out of your life. So I'm getting rid of, you know what I got rid of? I got rid of 7 credit cards. I cut them up and I paid off 2 credit card bills. Okay, now I'm going on and going to next month, I'm going to clean up a few more of those. See, I'm getting rid of the old to make room for the new. And I'm changing the way I do ministry to make room for the new. God wants to do new. Even if you've been in ministry for 40 years, He wants to do something new. Because after a while, it starts to be, oh, you know, this is what I do in the morning. This is what I do in the afternoon. I do this, you know, I help that person. And I speak. But you know what? He wants to revamp your website. I'm getting rid of that social media stuff. And I want to be more face-to-face with people. If somebody wants to call me and talk to me, pick up the phone. Let's have a lunch date. Because that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to connect that way. It's not that I'm not going to use technology, because I will. I'm going to still have my website. I'm going to still talk to people over the phone, do teleconferences, use all the media I can use, but I am stopping that particular connection. But I don't need that anymore. It was there for a season. Now it's gone. There's other things that I'm getting rid of. I'm not doing radio broadcasting anymore. So be sure you continue to listen in on my websites, because everything's going to still be there, but I'm going to do it in a different format, a fresh new way of reaching people who want to know more about the Lord, who want to receive God's love, who want to be taught how to activate their faith, and also how to find health and healing in today's world. That's what I'm going to continue to talk about. I'm excited. It feels like I've been let out of a cage, and that the things are flying everywhere in every direction, because the possibilities are numerous. It's just like what it says in the scripture. Is there anything too big for the Lord? And as long as we put a cap on it, as long as we saw things all figured out, we have put God out of it. We have not allowed Him to have His way. We have not allowed ourselves to grow and flourish and be bigger than we are. See, when we put a cap on it because we're continuing doing it the same way, God is an ever-changing God. Not that He changes, but He wants us to change continually and grow more into His nature and character. And we can't do that if we stay stuck in the same thing the same way. Now, there is a scripture that does back up, stay with the call that God has called you upon to do. But what I was doing was I entangled myself in the world, okay? Entangled myself in, oh, I better do a nonprofit so that I can give people opportunity to give and have a tax write-off. That was the only purpose, people, that I did that. I'm letting that go. Because if people want to give, they're going to give according to the heart of God, whether they get a tax write-off or not. And that's where I'm going to be. And you are free to give. You are free not to give. I am free to give. I am free not to give. I am free to live now. I am out of the box. So I encourage you to do the same thing. Look at your life. Evaluate what you've been doing for 100 years. Maybe you are supposed to do those things, but maybe a different way. It's so fresh, people. It's so good. It's a new year. Do things new. His mercies are new. That means they're new, that He's not doing the same thing every day the same. In the movie Chronicles of Narnia, it talks about Aslan, how the little girl said, you know, well, how come you didn't come back the way that you came before? He says, because I don't do the same thing twice. Because God then does not want to be guessed. You know, if we knew He did it this way every single time, we would go ahead and it become a part of our nature just to do it like that. And then we would expect Him to do it the way He does it. No, He wants us to continually grow and change and have faith as things change ahead of us. He wants us to have a full life of excitement. That's why we're here, not only to worship and praise Him and to see if we trust Him, but to enjoy what He's given to us, to be able to live in peace here in the midst of everything that's going on around us. Can we do that at the beginning of this year? I encourage you to do that. The same thing that I am doing, I'm asking you to do. If I can do it, if I can cut off a 20-year ministry, if I can let go of credit cards, if I can let go of relationships, boy, howdy, wow, that's going to make room for the new to come. Well, stay tuned because I'll let you know later what that new will be, because frankly, I have an idea, but I don't know for certain. God is giving and planting into me new vision and new direction and new hope, new prayers, new guidelines, new. I want the new, don't you? So get rid of the old. Well, God bless you, and we'll talk again real soon.